Hey everyone, this is Russell Brunson. Welcome to the fourth and final installment here in the interview with Andrew Warner at the Dry Bar Comedy Club, where he's going deep into the ClickFunnels startup story. And I hope you've enjoyed it so far. You know, throughout this entire interview, it was really fun. Is he brought my wife on stage and some of my partners on stage, and brought other people who didn't like me at first on stage, and kind of shared all these things. I hope you guys are enjoying it and really enjoying this interview. And I hope that this starts making you think about your startup story. Some of you guys are living your startup story right now, and maybe you're depressed or nervous or scared or afraid or whatever. And hopefully this gives you motivation to know that I was there too. And in fact, I'm still there many times, but it's okay, and it's part of the game and part of the process. And someday you look back and you'll have someone like Andrew interviewing you about your startup story, and you'll be so grateful for the trials and the things you're going through now. So with that said, we're in cue the theme song. We come back, we listen to part 4 of 4 of the ClickFunnels Startup Story interview with Andrew Warner at the Dry Bar Comedy Club. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us, who didn't cheat and take on venture capital, who are spending money from our own pockets, how do we market in a way that lets us get our products and our services and the things that we believe in out to the world and yet still remain profitable? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Russell Brunson, and welcome to Marketing Secrets.
And I know a lot of you have asked me what's coming up next, and Russell's going to talk about that, how you're going to get to like Salesforce level. But why don't I take a couple of questions from someone? Is there anyone who's been sitting here going, I can't believe Andrew didn't ask that? Is there anyone who has something that's standing out for them? And should we just have them come on stage?
We got mics
from over there. Okay.
All right. A little bit deeper of a question. So what is something, I know you're strong in your faith, family, God, I mean, all kind of all around. What's something that's really made you who you are? You mentioned before that made you, that you as a marketer with your dad, you're up late watching the infomercial, but what's something that inherently, it could have been experience, maybe a quote in the back of your mind that's just driven you. It could have been something your parents taught you when you were young. What is there, I mean, it's kind of a little bit difficult question to look back. There's probably a million things, but what are one or two that really stick out that make you the person that you are?
I have a million thoughts racing through my head. The one that just popped in the front, so I'll share that one. Hopefully it's good. I remember when I was a kid, my dad gave me a job to go clean the car. And went out there and I cleaned the car. I did my best job, I thought. And I came back in and I was like, Dad's clean. Can I go play? I was like, come look at it so you can let me go out and play. And he was like, well, is it good? Are you proud of it? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, are you proud of it? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, go work on it until you're proud of it, and then come back and let me know. And I was like, oh man. So I'd go back out and I was like, am I proud of this? Like, and I was thinking, I guess technically I'm really not that proud of it. So I was like trying to do more things, try to clean it better. And then to a point I was like actually proud of it. And I came back and I'm like, Dad, okay, the car's clean now. He's like, you proud of it? I'm like, I am. He's like, okay, you can go out and play then. And I think for me, like, that was such a big thing, because it was just like that, the internal, like, am I proud of this thing that I'm giving, that I'm putting out there? And if not, like, keep doing it till you are. And I don't know, that was like one of those little weird dad moments that he probably didn't mean as a teaching opportunity, but definitely has been big for me ever since then.
Yeah. Good question. Is there one on this side? While you're finding the person who has a question, Whitney, did you have more to say? You were going to ask more, right? Yeah. Can you get the mic over to Whitney, please? She's right over here. I know I didn't ask your full question.
Awesome. How are you doing?
So with your business, what is, back to like when you were first starting, I kind of want to know, what's the one thing, like when your business was really hard, when things were really struggling, what's the one thing that kept you going? It was just in the back of your mind. And then I have a second part of that is, what would you say was your biggest failure, and what was the greatest lesson that you learned from it?
Okay. Those aren't easy questions.
The biggest failure.
Oh, man. So the first question was, what was the first one again? I'm thinking about the biggest failure. I'm trying to... we kept going.
Give me a sec. Are you going through that now? Or you are. What are you going through right now? Can you stand up and get close to the mic? I could see that this is a meaningful question for a reason. What's going on? Be open.
I'm just trying with my business. I'm trying to get my message out there. I'm just baby parts of ClickFunnels. So I'm just figuring out like how to do a funnel. But my company is called Creating Powerful Women. And so I'm just trying to teach women how to grow a business while they grow their family at the same time. And I'm doing that right now because I have three little tiny girls. So I'm just like, okay, I'm still trying to figure out this myself and then teach women how to do it at the same time. So it's just, I'm still in that struggle phase.
Is it partially because you're feeling like an imposter? How can I tell them what to do? That's what I was saying to you earlier.
Yeah.
How do you feel like that?
I need to have that success level before I can teach women how to go out and do it. But the reason when I found you in the hall and I said, I want Russell to be vulnerable and tell like the nitty gritty parts of the story, and those stories are what make people relatable to you. That's kind of where I'm at, as I realize that I grow a bigger following and a bigger audience when I'm more relatable to them, which I realize I don't need to be up at that level to do that. So
I get that.
Yeah. So my question for you is, have you been working with women and helping them so far? Tell me like a story of someone you've helped that I'm curious.
So I went through postpartum depression a couple years ago after I had a baby. And a lot of the women that I've been reaching out to, when I shared those stories, those women have been coming to me saying, hey, how do you get through this struggle? I know you've gotten past that. And so I want to hear the hard stories that you went through. And so a lot of the people that I've been coaching one-on-one have been people that have gone through those exact same little things that I have.
Okay. When you do that and you share the stuff with them and they get that clicks for them, how does that feel?
Like I'm fulfilling what I was put on this planet to do.
That's the thing that keeps me going. Like, it doesn't happen often, but it happens often enough that like, I crave that. Like I'm super introverted. There's always awkward people come to me, but I still love when they come to me and they're like, hey, just, you know, real quick. Like last night we were in San Diego, and someone came up to me in the hall, and I was kind of like, I'm nervous to talk to you because you're talking to me. And he said, hey, just real quick, you like legitimately changed my life. You changed my family. He started like tearing up, and I was just like, I let myself feel that just for a second, and then I go back to the awkwardness. But for a second, I feel that, and just like, that's what it's about, you know. And I use Voxer for my coaching clients, right? So every time they Vox me and they say something like that, there's a little star button. I star it, and it stores them this huge like thing of all the starred ones. So nowadays I'll go back and I'll listen to that, and I'll listen to people like 2 years ago who said something about like how something I did affected them. And it's just like, honey, that feeling, because everything we do in this life is for feelings, right? Like everything is just a feeling we're looking for. We eat because we want a feeling. We did this because I wanted a feeling. Like, we're doing everything for a feeling. So it's like, if I can remember the feelings of the thing I'm trying to get, and I can experience it again, then that's what gets me and keeps me going. And I think that any of us that are lucky enough to have those feelings, like a lot of times we forget about them. It's like, no, like remember that, because that's the thing when it's hard and it's painful and it's dark. It's that feeling that's just like, oh, that's the, and you remember that and you like let yourself experience it again for a minute. And then for me, that's like, okay, I can get back up. I can go again.
Yeah. Great question. I'm glad you asked it. How about one more over there? You know what? Yeah. Let's give her a big round of applause, please.
Actually going to ask a little bit about that vulnerability. I was surprised. So I'm big in the SaaS space. I've been to Dreamforce, follow a lot of ClickFunnels. It's pretty rare that you see a CEO want to put themselves kind of on the roasting, you know, side of things. So you're from here, from Sandy. I was just kind of surprised. What was it that really compelled you to want to come back, do this in Utah? When I saw your email, I thought it was a clickbait scam.
it is. We're selling you something next. Just kidding.
I really thought I was going to come and it was going to be like a video of your face spinning, and it was going to be like, you know, we're here because I follow ClickFunnels, but it's just really rare. I mean, especially it being down in Utah County, that was kind of unique that way.
Wait, one sec. Does ClickFunnels actually allow me to place people's city in the headline? Like, I want someone from San Francisco. You could. Oh, all right. I get it.
Yeah. It said like Idaho. It said we're in the surrounding areas. It's going out to 8,000 people, limited seating. So, and as a marketer, I was just like, is this the real thing? You know? So I showed up and I was excited to see you, but why come back to Utah? What does this event mean to you, and why want to be vulnerable and kind of open up? And I learned a lot about you personally that was great to hear from a business side. So,
yeah. So my beliefs are, and I believe we are the best software company in the world. So I'm going to start with that. But if it's just about the software, then it comes down to like, who's got what feature, and people are moving and shifting and changing because of the features, right? Like, that's the thing. And we started ClickFunnels. It was like, no, it has to be more. It has to be like a thing, right? And it's interesting because people who sign up for ClickFunnels, who like click on an ad, they come and sign up. That's why John can't do, it doesn't work that way, right? Because they're signing for a web, ClickFunnels is a website builder, for crying out loud. Like, if you boil it down, we are a website builder. That is boring, right? So people don't come for that. They stay for that. Like, that's why they stay. That's why they stay, but they come because of the feeling, and they come because of the connection. Like, I want to be able to take the videos from here, because if I can get more people who come through my funnels to hear this story, they're going to stick with ClickFunnels because they realize, like, we have a soul. There's a reason behind this. It's not just the software company who's trying to make a bunch of money. We have belief behind it. And so that's why we do all these things. That's why I still write books. That's why we do videos. That's why we do vlogs. That's why we do it, like, this fun stuff, because it builds connection with people, and connection is what keeps people staying. Even if some other company's got a different feature than we do, or it's cheaper, more expensive, whatever. And so that's a big reason why we still do it. And then, I thought it'd be fun to come down here. Yeah. Cause it's, you know, I grew up not far from here, and it's just kind of a fun thing. We've been working with the Harmon brothers, and we started another project with them, and their family owns the Dry Bar Comedy Club. If you guys have ever watched VidAngel, that's one of their family's companies. And when VidAngel had their little hiccups, they shifted all the programming to Dry Bar Comedy Club. So we used to watch all the comedians here. And I was like, this is like the coolest location to do something like this. And one of the other side jokes, I don't know if I shared this with you or if it's just in my head, but Andrew's famous for doing these big scotch nights. And as a Mormon, I can't drink scotch. And I was like, what if we did this, but it's like at a dry bar? And it's kind of this funny like play off of that. And it all worked out. So,
yeah. You know, usually at events, I do scotch night afterwards. Say, everyone come back to my room. It's not going to go over very well. But Dave been to mine. He drinks water and feels comfortable. We have good water for Dave. How about one more? And then I want to get into the future.
So you always talk about how, like, for ClickFunnels, you guys took like 6 tries to finally make it work, right? And how, like, most of the time when you guys start something, it doesn't work the first time. That's why you have audibles and all those things. So I was just wondering, as someone that, you know, I'm starting and getting that kind of like that lift, like, what is the biggest thing that you see versus like a flop funnel versus something that, you know, kind of takes off and explodes? And like, what's the audible or the change that you normally do, that like that shift or the message change, whatever it is, that makes it finally take off?
Traditionally, like, the difference between a funnel that works and doesn't work, I'd say it's probably 50% offer. Like, if the offer's wrong, it's not going to, like, that's usually the first thing. Like, is it actually a good offer that people actually want? Second then is usually like copy. So looking like, what's the hook, thing, you know, those kind of things. And then design's probably third. It's all the stuff that Theron and those guys didn't like at first. Like the things that, cause it's not like we just made up the stuff, right? It's, I mean, you saw 8,000 funnels we tested and tried in the journey of 15 years to this, that's like, now we know like what things people convert on. And so it's just like looking at stuff that, you know, is working and modeling, because you know, like, this structure works, this kind of things, but usually something's broken. It's going back and like figuring out, like, okay, this offer's not right. People didn't want it. And I mean, that was the problem with ClickFunnels. Like, the offer, we took 4 or 5 times to get the offer right. And as soon as the offer's right, then it was just like, you can tell when it's right, because people will buy. Even if everything else is bad, if your offer is amazing, people will give you money for it, you know? So that's definitely the biggest part. And then from there, then it's copy, and then design, and then all the little things that stress some people out, like me. Yeah.
So I've got, we'll come back. I see that there are a few people who had more questions. We'll come back to that in a moment, including you, and I promise I'll do more. But you did tell me about all the different things that you guys are working on now. Of all of them, what's the one that's going to get you the closest to Salesforce level?
Oh, that's a good question. There's so many things. So I would say, I'm going to ask you a question. Is that right? Have you ever played Bigger yet? Play Bigger? Playing Bigger?
No. What do you mean by that?
That's the name of the book, right? Play Bigger?
Oh, Playing Bigger, the book. No.
Yes. So that book's been interesting. If you guys haven't read it, it's one of the biggest ones as a team we've been reading, but it's all about like designing a category and becoming the king of that category, right? So I feel like we are the king of sales funnels, and that's like our category. That's the thing that's going to be there, right? And then if you read through the book, like, the next phases are like, is building out the ecosystem that supports you as the category. And the fascinating thing about Salesforce, if you look at it, and I probably shouldn't say this on video, because someday Mark Benioff's going to watch this and he'll be like, I'll never give you money. But like, Salesforce isn't great software, right? Like, it's this hub that things are tied into. But the reason why they did $13 billion this year, they're trying to get to $20 billion, is because they built this ecosystem, right? The ecosystem is what supports this thing and grows it up and builds it. And that's like the next phase. And so I think for us, it's like we have funnels, which are the key that's like, it's like the CRM for them. It's like the central point. but it's then bringing in all the ecosystem, is building up all the other things around it, right?
Letting other people create things on your platform, becoming a platform.
Yes, becoming a true platform.
Can you create a platform when what you want is the all-in-one solution? When you're saying, you don't have to plug in your chatbot to our software. We're going to be chatbot software. You don't have to plug in Infusionsoft. We've got email marketing in here or MailChimp.
It depends because you get Salesforce is similar too, right? They have their own things that they either acquire and they bring them in, or they build their own things like that. And I think it's a hybrid of that. I think it's we allow people to integrate, because some people have tools that are our goal is to always be the best sales funnel builder on planet Earth. We may not be the best email autoresponder in the world. We'd have one, and that increases our revenue, and people who love us will use our email autoresponder. But there may be some other one that's better. But it's not our big focal point. There may be a chatbot that's got more features, more things. That's not going to be our focus, making it the best. But we've got one built in to make it. So there will be – that's kind of our thought, is that we will have the things included. So if people want to go all in, they can use it. But if they love yours because these things, they can bring that and still bring it in. You know. And then as we grow, who knows what the next phase is. The acquisitions, the finding the best partners, people that have most of our members are using, start acquiring companies and bringing them in. Internally similar to what Salesforce does, just to keep growing the platform.
Just keep letting people build on your platform. And then does that make the platform more valuable, or do you guys get a share of the money that people spend on these extra tools?
Both, I think. Stripe, for example, right? Stripe, I think we process $1.7 billion through Stripe. You know, we make over $1 million a year from Stripe referral fees for just letting them connect with us, right? There's value on both sides. It makes the platform more valuable because people can use it easier. But we also make money that direction as well. And those type of things.
Okay. And then what is Actionalytics?
Actionetics.
Excuse me.
So that's Todd's name. He loved that name. Anyway, so Actionetics is, it's what we call internally follow-up funnels. So we have sales funnels, which are page one, page two, page three, page four. And then a follow-up funnel is send this email, send this text message. Here's the retargeting pixels. Here's the thing. So it's the follow-up funnels. It's all of the communication that's happened after somebody leaves the page with your audience.
And that's a new product that you guys are creating?
Yeah, we make more revenue from ActionX than we do from ClickFunnels right now.
Really?
We've never marketed outside though.
I can't get access to it. It asked me for my username and password. I said, I don't have that. But how do I sign up for it?
It's only been in beta. So we opened up at Funnel Hacking Live. People signed up there, and then we kept it down for a year, and then we opened it. So two Funnel Hacking Lives we opened it at, and then on my birthday we opened it, and that's it. But we have, it's like 12,000-13,000 members who have upgraded to that. And then we're probably a couple weeks away from the actual public launch where everyone will be able to.
And already people are spending more money on that than ClickFunnels?
Because it starts at $300 a month versus $100. So it's ascension up. So they go from $100 a month to $300 a month. And then the new one, it scales with you. So because we're sending emails and Facebook message, things like that, it gives us the ability to grow with the platform as well and not just have a $200 a month limit. Someone might pay $1,000 or $5,000 depending on how big their lists are.
You're really good at these upsells. You're really good at these extra features. How do you think about what to add? How do the rest of us think about it based on what's worked for you?
Okay, that's a great question. And everyone thinks the question most people ask is like, what price point should my upsells be? It has nothing to do with that. It has 100% to do with like the logical progression of events for your customer, right? So like when someone comes to you and they buy something, like let's just say it's weight loss, right? So they come to you and they buy a weight loss book, right? And they say, so how to get abs. So they buy that. Second they put their credit card in, they click the button. In their mind, that problem has now been solved. Like, I now have six-pack abs.
Okay.
The second it's done. And people don't think that. So what people do wrong is the next page is like, cool, you bought my abs book. Do you want my abs video series? It's like, no, I just solved that problem. I gave you money. It's been solved. So we have to think through for logical upsells is like, okay, I just got abs. What's the next logical thing I need? So it's like, cool, you got abs now, but how do you like biceps? Like, we can work you out. This is my training program to grow here. Right? Or for funnels, it's like, here's this funnel software, or here's this book teaching you how to deal with funnels. But like, after you have a funnel, you need traffic. So traffic's the next logical progression. So as soon as someone's bought something, my mind, in the customer's mind, I believe that problem's been solved. And it's like, hey, what's the new problem that's been opened up because that problem's been solved? That's the logical
upsell. I got my email addresses because of ClickFunnels. The next problem I'm probably going to have is, what do I send to people? And that's what you're solving. What about this Fill Your Funnel? It's a new software.
Yeah.
What is it?
So how do you know these things? That is good. You have been digging. So I'm writing my third book right now. It's called Traffic Secrets. And then on the back of it, we have software that's called Fill Your Funnel that matches how we do traffic with the with a book. So if someone reads the book, you log in, and the way we do traffic, we focus very heavily on like influencers. We call it the Dream 100. So you come in and you log in, you're like, okay, here's the people in my market. There's Tony Robbins, there's Andrew, there's so you list all these people, and it starts pulling all their data, scraping all their ads, their funnels, and everything, and shows you everything that's happening in their company so you can reverse engineer it for what you're doing.
So if I admire what John is doing for you guys, I could put you in the software, you'll show me what you guys are doing, and then I'll be able to scrape it and do it myself. You're nodding, and you're okay with that.
That's
awesome. I'm
excited.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
Have you been doing that? Is that part of what's worked for you guys at ClickFunnels?
Yeah, we call it funnel hacking. We like to look and see what other people are doing.
And so you're actively looking to see what people... Man, as an interviewer, that'd be so good for me to understand what people are doing to get like traffic to their sites. All right, and so...
We buy everybody's product. Everyone's. I bought Drew's like 6 times. Yeah, you're welcome. Just because the process is fascinating to see.
And then the book. What's the name of the book?
Traffic Secrets.
Why is everything a secret? What is that?
I don't know.
No, I feel like you do. I remember it was...
It outconverts. 100% it's because it outconverts.
Because the word secret outconverts in everything.
Everything that I've... Like, I used to on stage be like, the top 3 myths, the top 3 strategy, the top 3 lies, the top 3 everything. And like, secrets always outconvert everything else. And then...
And so that's the name of this book. I'm looking here to see. Yeah, Melanie, she told me when you organized this event, you said, secret project. That's it.
So I,
and then...
If I just tell people what's happening, then they like, oh, cool. I need to have to build up the anticipation.
Even within your team.
Especially within
especially.
The team. Yes.
So secret is one big thing. What else do you do?
Secrets, hacks.
No, within the team. So now you get them interested by saying it's a secret. Boom.
So I'll tell them a story. I'll tell them the beginning of a story. Like, oh my gosh, you guys, I was listening. I was just cleaning the wrestling room and I was going through this thing and I was listening to Andrew and he was doing this campfire chat and it was amazing. And he's telling this whole story and I have this idea. It's going to be amazing. But I'll tell you guys about it tomorrow. And so what happens now is they've got a whole night to like marinate on this and be like, what in the world? And they get all excited. And then when they show up, they're anticipating me telling them. And then when I tell them, then I get the response I want. If I tell them, they're like, oh, cool. I'm like, no, like you missed it. Like, yeah, I need that. In fact, I'll share ideas all the time. I'll pitch it out there just to see, like, I know if it's a good idea, because Brent will be like, I got chills. Dave will start freaking out. And that's why I know. I'm like, okay, it was a good idea. If they're like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, crap, I'm not doing that one.
I've heard one of the things, one of the reasons that you guys hang out together is when he's an extrovert and you're an introvert. But the other one is Dave will like one up you.
It starts the process. This is so the bubble soccer event we did. Initially, it was like, we're going to have influence, or we're launching a viral video. And then like, well, let's bring some people into it. And then we're asking somebody who could bring like big influencers, like, yeah, do something crazy. Like, get a Ferrari and let him drive over it in a monster truck. And I was like, that seems extreme. I was like, what if we like played football in the Boise State Stadium? And Dave's like, what if we did bubble soccer? And like, what if we tried to set a Guinness Book of World? And then next thing we know, we're all Guinness Book of World Record champion bubble soccer players. So it was amazing.
And that's the thing that I've heard about your office environment, that it's this kind of atmosphere where, see, for me, look at me, I've got that New York tension. When I talk to my people and I talk to everyone, it's like, we've got to do something already. And you guys are like, fun, there's a bubble ball pit or whatever in the office. Am I right? I go, we're going to create a new office. Let's have a bowling alley in it. And it's a laser shoot. That's the truth.
This is the truth.
Does he also tell you, like, we need to do something this weekend, date night? It's a secret.
Maybe I need to do more of that, huh?
Yes. Does he use persuasion techniques on you?
It doesn't work on her.
No?
She's the only person I can't persuade. It's amazing. My powers are useless against my wife. It's unfortunate.
Do you actually use them? Or when it comes to the house, you go, come on, I'm tired already. Just.
I tried to do something today, and she's like, that was the worst sales pitch ever. I'm like, dang it. Wow. All right, I'll try again.
Hey, Siri, text my wife. I've got plans for tomorrow night. So good. Russell just told me about it. I'll tell you later. Secret. Period. Send.
That's amazing.
Wowee. Does anyone know how I could get a babysitter here?
Oh yeah,
it is. Oh. You're a little too eager to spend time with my kids. No. Thank you. All right, I said that I would take a few more questions. I know we're almost out of time here. Who was it? There was someone on the right here. It was especially like, look, yeah, you who just pointed behind you.
Hi. Okay, Russell. So I've been in your world since about 2016.
You know, hang on a second.
What?
I'm sorry to curse. Who the f- comes to a software event and goes, I've been in your world. This is amazing about you. I'm in San Francisco. There's nobody who goes, I'm so glad I've been in the HubSpot world. No, this, that, it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. I had to interrupt. It's like, okay. I've been in your world. He's selling you software. You're in his world.
You have to listen to his podcast. It's a
unit. I listen to his podcast. It's just him talking.
He talks about it. It's a unit. It's a universe. Hey, he creates a universe.
Like, this blew my mind. I thought it was him in like a professional studio. I saw him in San Francisco. He's talking into the voice recorder on his phone. Okay, yeah. I got a feeling that Russell's going to go at some point, religion is just an info product. I think I could do a better job here. All right, yeah.
Okay. I entered the ClickFunnels universe in 2016. And since that time, I came in with a lot of hopes and a lot of, it was a really exciting experience to have you break down the marketing that's, you like really simplified it, right? So I see that I'm an ambassador for the one Comma Club challenge right now. And people are coming in with such high hopes and such tremendous faith and trust in you. And I have friends that I've, you know, brought into it and everything. And they're coming in just like, they're really staking a lot on what they, how they've been persuaded to join your universe. And so, well, sorry, universe is the wrong word. But from that, like, I guess the question is, there's a few things. I think a lot of people are afraid of that type of responsibility in the products that they're delivering. And of course, there is a tremendous failure rate of people who don't get what they're, you know, persuaded in. And so there's a lot of magnification on the two comma club and the people that are the successes. But the question that I have is the responsibility that you feel for that. I feel that you feel the responsibility because you're constantly looking for new ways to simplify, to bring in new coaches, to bring in the new team, to like make products and offers that are, I mean, completely irresistible. Truthfully, I mean, I went to Funnel Hacking Live. I'm not spending any money. Okay, $20,000 later. But I mean, it was truthfully so irresistible. So, but you've like crafted such unique things in an effort to truly serve that client and really get them to the place that they're looking to go. So I'm not sure if the question's coming up, but it's a lot of responsibility that all these bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you know, wannabe marketers are coming in really truthfully feeling the genuine you know, just truth that you're telling them, but then, like, there's a big crash and burn rate, too, which is normal in that space. You're I'm not saying. Sure what the question is, but...
Congratulations to the people in the Two Comma Club. What about the people in the No Comma Club? What do you feel is a sense of obligation to the people who aren't yet there? What do you feel about that?
Is that the question?
Is that right?
I guess the question is, so there's two parts. One is the responsibility that other people are feeling, the fear that they're feeling to put something out there because they're afraid of a failure rate. Wow. So just like Whitney over there was talking about, she's got those fears. So there's normal fears that come along with that. And so how you deal with that in that not... It's not because of lack of delivery on your end, but there are still people who are spending tremendous amounts of money or small amounts of money that just aren't getting what it is. So it's really about your internal feelings about that topic.
It's a good question. And there's a lot of different ways I could answer it. I'm trying to think, you know, for me, it's I think it's a big reason why I do have a constant drive, because I do feel like a huge obligation to people who sign up for our stuff, right? And so it's like, I'm always thinking, how do we simplify this? How do we simplify it? What's the best way to do it? Like, what's the thing? But that's also what like creates innovation, right? So it creates the ideas is that like, how do we serve these people better? How do we serve them better? Probably the best analogy. In fact, Brandon over here was working on a video. And he sent me last night that I had a chance to watch, which was really cool. We had Sean Stevenson speak at the second Funnel Hacking Live. Was anyone there for that one? A couple of guys. And he gave this, Sean seems to me, you know him, he's a 3-foot giant. He's this little dude in a wheelchair, one of the coolest humans on earth. And he told this story. It was funny because, man, I had like another emotional connection watching it last night, actually watching it. And he talked about stories like, how many of you guys here are upset because you got like 17 followers on Facebook and you got, you know, 13 likes on your YouTube video and you're like, you're pissed because of all this stuff, right? And I think a lot of people feel that way. Like, I'm trying this thing. I'm not a millionaire yet. I'm not making any money. And blah, blah, blah. And like, they're upset about that, right? And what Sean said, he's like, do you know how? Do you know how they choose who they're going to save when a helicopter's flying into an ocean and there's a boat that's wrecked with all these people? Guess how they choose who they're going to save? And he said, the what happens? The helicopter drivers, they fly over there and they go down. The people are going to save them. And says, guess who they save? They save the people they're swimming towards you. He says, like, that's how you do it. So if you try to save everyone, they'll drown you, it'll drown the boat, and everybody dies. But you save the people that are swimming towards you. And they came back to say, you know, those 17 likes on your video, like, those are the people that are swimming towards you. Like, you have to understand that. And so for me, it's like, we talk about the money because it gets people inspired, but like when it all comes down, the real internal belief, like no one really cares about the money, right? They want the feeling of the connection and the help, and they want to change the world. They have their thing. And so it's like, we talk about the money because it gets people excited, but I don't know anybody who that's the real reason why they're in business. Like they're in it because they want to help those people that are coming towards them. And so you notice when you get deeper into the culture, right? It's not just money, 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 money. It's like, how do you serve? How do you impact? How do you change the world? How can you get your message clear? How can you do those things? And when you shift from the money to that, then the money starts magically coming. And so for me, it's just like, how do we get people thinking that way more often? I don't know if that's the right answer, if that helps at all, but it is definitely something I feel a big obligation for. But I also feel like I'm super grateful for the people who were willing to. I'm grateful that Don Lepree spent all that money doing the infomercial on that thing, and I didn't implement it back then when I was 14, right? I'm grateful for the next guy who re-inspired me, and I bought the thing, and I didn't do anything, and the next person who, and all those things, because eventually it stuck, right? And so for me, it's like, I want to keep creating offers and keep doing cool things and keep trying to inspire people, because it might not be the first or the second or the fifth, but like eventually if I keep being consistent on my side, it's going to keep getting it. And eventually the right people, those who actually have something they want to share, who actually like care about what they're doing, will figure out the way. And we're just gonna keep trailblazing and trying to do our best to make a path that they can all follow. And so that's kind of how I look at it.
Great question. Let's close it out with one more. Yes. Or Dave, did you find someone? Because I just found someone right here. Why don't we do two more then? Since you found one and I found... What's your name? Yeah. Sorry, Parker? Parker, you're next. Oh, there we go. Let's go to Parker next. And we'll close it out with him.
All right, so the biggest question I have for you, Russell, is I've seen you guys' amazing group you guys have at ClickFunnels. And every time I go in your guys' office... it's nothing but just like excitement energy. And not only you have to like inspire, you don't have to inspire your workers to work for you. They come like they're excited, and hearing your amazing stories that John and Brett had, they stayed with you for all this time, and you pushed them and they pushed you. And there's this amazing cycle. I'm curious as far as, cause I want to have an amazing group like that one too, so I can affect the world the same way that you have and even do better than you did. And that's like a complete like admiration thing. Like that's, I don't know.
Cut from the same cloth here.
That's his dad.
That's my dad. Son. Yes.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
but no, the question I have for you is, how do you find those people? Is it nothing but like a whittling out process, or do you see these characteristics already in the people that you have?
Wait, one sec. How old are you?
I'm 20 years old.
20 years old, you admire your dad and the guy he works with so much that you want to not just be like him, but be more like him? Can you take care of my kids tonight? Sorry, that's amazing. Does your dad come home with like this energy, like we're gonna capture the world, here's what we're gonna do?
It is the funniest thing. Oh my gosh. So every way you see him online, social media, whatever the heck it is, it's exactly the same way he's at home. When you see him on the TV, like talking about like, oh, like this is like when you interview him.
I subscribe to his podcast. I see that thing.
All right, so you know what motivates you too? Yeah.
What do you motivate you to do to sell as a kid or to upsell as a kid?
So he would like talk to us like he was a salesperson, basically, in the aspect of like he talks about things as far as like this person did a terrible job at selling. They could have done this, 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 and this. And like we're like 10 years old, I think, at the time. I don't know. It's more of a recent change since he's joined ClickFunnels. It's got this amazing excitement and energy, and it's an amazing thing that I wish to have people like my dad when I start to do my own thing.
It is contagious, isn't it?
Yeah, it totally is.
And I'm done watching. What's this new vlog that you've got? It's on Russell. It's on Russell Brunson's YouTube channel, right? I'm at the end of it going, hell yeah, why am I taking a shower now? I got to go. I got stuff to do. Right? These guys are out there taking over San Francisco. That's my city. So I guess you're feeling the same way at home. Right? It's city now. He's there twice. He suddenly owns a place. All right, so your question was?
Oh, so yeah, my question was basically, how do you find these amazing people to work not only for you, but with you and to help you accomplish your dream? Is it a whittling out process, or is it you have this innate ability to like find people?
So as you were saying that, I'm thinking about like the partners on our team who none of them came through like a help wanted site. None of them came through like Brent went to church with me and he showed up every single week every single month. He was my home teacher and showed up every single month consistently, and we became friends, and then we did stuff together. John married my cousin. We were on the boat in the middle of the lake, and he pitched me on a network marketing opportunity. I was like, I love this guy. And then I pitched him back, and then like we just and it was amazing. And then you know, Dave, we were at an event like this, and then we had a sign-up sheet if you wanted to take the speakers out to dinner, and Dave ran back and signed up every single line under mine, so I went to every single meal with him for 3 days. Like, it's just, I think a big part of it, like, I think most entrepreneurs can't build a team because they're like, waiting to build a team, and I think for me, it was like, I didn't know what I was doing, so I just started running, and what happens when you're moving forward and motion's happening, like, people get attracted to that. And some people will come for, you know, bad reasons and they'll leave people. And, you know, I've been taken advantage of multiple times. Like, things like that will happen, but the right people will stick around. But it's all about, it's the motion, right? That's what people are attracted to. It's like, something's happening. Like, I don't know what's happening, but I want to be on that train. And they start coming. And so I think it's just taking the initiative, like, hey, I'm going to start running. And I have no idea if anyone's going to follow me ever. But if I do this and I keep doing consistently, then people will. And, you know, it's a consistency thing. I'm 15 years into this business now. I'm 8,000 funnels deep. But it's a consistency. And, like, when you do that and you're consistent, then the right people just start coming into your life. And but not waiting for initially. If I would have waited to build my team initially, like, we wouldn't have a team, right? Everyone we met was, like, as we were having motion, the right people started showing up.
All right. Thanks. All right. Speaking of, thank you. How many people here are actually at ClickFunnels? If you work at ClickFunnels, can you guys stand up if you work at ClickFunnels? There you go. I feel like at the end of this, everyone's going to want to go and meet Russell. Everyone's going to want to go and mob him. And he's not that social, number one. Number two, I feel like you're going to pass up these fan-freaking-tastic conversations. I've gotten to know the people who work here a lot really well in preparation for this. I really urge you to see the guy, the people who are wearing these T-shirts. Get to know them, push them into a corner, understand what's working for them. And really, you're fantastic people. Thanks so much for helping me do this. All right. And thank you for having me on here. I really appreciate you being open, being willing to let me take this anywhere. You said, I understand what Andrew's trying to do. He's trying to figure this out. I'm going to let him run with it and let him make the magic happen. And I think we've made a lot of magic happen. Thanks so much for having me here.
Yeah, man, it was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. I'm looking forward to meeting every one of you. Thanks.
Want more marketing secrets? If so, then go get your copies of my two best-selling books. Book number one is called Expert Secrets, and you can get a free copy at expertsecrets.com. And book number two is called .com Secrets, and you can get your free copy at .comsecrets.com. Inside these two books, you'll find my top 35 secrets that we've used to become the fastest-growing non-VC-backed SaaS startup company in the world.